Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you've had a wonderful week last week, and we are starting a new week today, and that's fantastic. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a series that we started, the Great Escape series. You know, we talked about escape from Jericho. We've talked about escaping from the Great Flood. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about escaping from the Great Fish. Escaping from the Great Fish. And that's going to be our focus as we look at the book of Jonah and the first two chapters of that book. Perhaps there's no more beloved story, you know, in the Bible than the story of Jonah and the great fish. And I know sometimes we say Jonah and the whale, right? But the Bible doesn't call it a whale per se, but a great fish of some sort. And rightly so, because whales, anatomically speaking, are incapable of swallowing large objects like a human being, for example. But a big fish would not necessarily be prevented from doing that. And in fact, if you'll check the news, there are some people who have been swallowed by big fish in our day and time. And then occasionally you'll see a news story like that, and they come out unscathed, believe it or not, after having been swallowed by a fish. It's quite amazing stories. But there are some real stories like that that have happened, even in our day and time. So the story of Jonah is not so unbelievable as some have made it out to be in the past. But nevertheless, as we look at the book of Jonah, we're going to be looking at some spiritual things, some spiritual lessons that we're going to be paying attention to this morning. And so let's turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and let's talk about that book. Now, in the first three verses of Jonah, we have this. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, as we think about the book of Jonah, one of the things that we notice is that Jesus himself, as we had our scripture behind us during the Lord's Supper, even Jesus recognized the truthfulness of the book of Jonah and used it as a point in talking about his resurrection. And so when we think about the book of Jonah, we think about a connection with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, and the power of God is really the point that Jesus is making. And so God is able to do so much more than we are able. And one of the things that the book of Jonah teaches us is that we need to put our trust in God regardless of what kind of situations we may find ourselves in. And you see, that's the situation that Jonah found himself in. He was commanded by God to do something. And that's our first point. We're going to look at this command that God gives to Jonah. God had a command for Jonah, and that command was very simple. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Not too difficult to understand. You know, Jonah was a man who lived in the northern kingdom of Israel. And in fact, in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, we see him identified as a prophet in this particular verse. And he was spoke regarding some things that took place. But there he is, Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who is from Gath-Hepher, 2 Kings 14, verse 25 says. And so he was the son of Amittai. He prophesied around 780 B.C., and so Jonah was a prophet of the northern kingdom, and in this particular time in the northern kingdom, the great threat, the great external threat was Assyria. And the capital of Assyria was Nineveh. So think about that for just a minute. Think about the command that God gave Jonah. Go to Nineveh, your greatest political enemy, right? And cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. That would be like, you know, God coming to one of us saying, I want you to go to China, you know, or Russia, and cry out against it. You know, some of us would scratch our head and say, well, are you sure that's what you want me to do? Well, yes, God knows what he's doing. And when he gives a command like this, he expects us to obey it and to follow it. And so Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was, and you can see from the map up here on the screen, Nineveh was up here in the Fertile Crescent area along the Tigris River. And Samaria was down here in Israel proper. And so Samaria was the capital of Israel. And so that's the kind of distance, you know, that God was talking about Jonah taking in order to do this. And that would have been a pretty good trip to make in that day and time, to travel on foot and no doubt have a tremendous amount of effort in order to go there. And then to go to the city of your political enemy, you know, the greatest threat to your country, and to prophesy. And how would that, you know, Jonah was probably thinking, well, how is that going to make me look in the sight of all the Israelites as well? You know, going, they're going to think I'm a traitor or something. But God had his command that he gave Jonah, and he expected Jonah to keep that command. And so eventually Assyria conquered Israel. It was about 710 BC that they did this. So this was 70 years prior to Assyria's conquering Israel, that Jonah is commanded to go up there and to prophesy against that nation. But God wanted him to do it, and he had a reason for it, because there were people there in the city of Nineveh that needed to repent. You know, one of the interesting things about the book of Jonah is that it gives us a little glimpse into God's working with other nations besides Israel. You know, a lot of times we think about the Old Testament, just God just worked with Israel, right? And with the family of Abraham and that kind of thing. But he did more than that. And we don't necessarily have all of those stories. We have the story of God working with Israel because that's what God wanted us to have. But here is a story of God working with another country that was there in that day and time, and sending a prophet there to prophesy to them. Well, why would God do that if Israel was his chosen people? Well, they were his chosen people, but the other countries, God was concerned about them as well. He was concerned that they repent and turn to him also. He didn't want them to die in sin. And so God did a lot of things, I'm sure, that we have no record of today in reference to many of these other countries, but we do happen to have the book of Jonah, which gives us a small glimpse into God's care and concern for the many other nations that existed outside of Israel. Well, as we continue to think about this, you know, God's motivations are clear. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. And in the end of the book of Jonah, Jonah 4 and verse 11, God says to Jonah, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. And so even in this city, God was concerned about the innocent people who lived in that city, namely all the children who were being influenced one way or another. And God certainly wanted them to have an opportunity to hear the truth and to do what is right. And so God commanded Jonah to go and to preach to the city of Nineveh. You know, God continues that command today. Yeah, I'm going to back up a little bit. He continues that command today through us, through the church, in preaching and teaching the gospel. You know, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And so we are charged today as well to take the message of the gospel to others. And why is that? Because God wants everyone to repent. God wants everyone to have an opportunity to hear His word and believe it and to respond to it. He does not take pleasure in the death of those who die. All right. Point number two. In the book of Jonah, we see a contradiction. So we have a command, God's command to Jonah. Now we have a contradiction. Jonah contradicts God's command. He did not obey the command to go to Nineveh and to preach, cry out against it, as God told him to do. But what did he do? He fled to Tarshish. And just to give you an idea of how far away Tarshish was, you know, this is what we're talking about him doing. Joppa was a port city down there close to Samaria, and Nineveh was, you know, up here in the Fertile Crescent, and Tarshish is way on the other side of the Mediterranean. And so he's trying to get as far away as he can from God. In fact, the text says that he sought to flee from the presence of the Lord. If you look at verse 3, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. All right. And of course, that's an impossible thing to do because the Lord is everywhere, right? And so just because Jonah contradicted God and fled doesn't mean that he was escaping God. God is everywhere. And that's something that we need to recognize as well. So what was Jonah thinking exactly? Maybe he was thinking, well, if I leave the nation of Israel, then God won't bother with me anymore, you know? And if I just go somewhere else, then he won't bother with me. But that's not the case. You know, God bothers with us, if you will. He knows every single one of us in a very personal and intimate way. He cares about us. He sees what's going on in our life. He has intimate knowledge regarding every single person. And we don't necessarily think about that all the time, right? Our focus a lot of times is not on that fact that God is always there, always present, always knowing everything we do, everything we say, everything that transpires in our mind. God knows all those things. But we, you know, we get distracted and we want to be distracted by a lot of things a lot of times. And that's kind of the story of Jonah as well. Well, you know, I'll just put God out of my mind and I'll go away and God won't bother me anymore. Well, that's not the case. That's not the case. So Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? You know, we cannot flee from God. God's in heaven. God's in hell, as the text says here, in the sense of under the earth. This isn't meaning he's in the place of punishments or anything like that, but he's in the unseen area, in Hades or Sheol, if you will. He's in the uttermost parts of the sea. He's everywhere. And so when we think about where God is, he's in all places. And so we cannot escape him. Well, Jonah got this ship. He paid the fare and he wanted the protection of being a legitimate passenger. He didn't stow away, you know, and he went to great lengths, therefore, to get away from God's commands. And the question that arises in my mind is this: how do we run away from God? You know, because we do that from time to time. We say, you know what? I just don't want to be bothered with God right now. And so what do people do? Well, different people do different things, obviously, but some of the more popular things that are done are people turn to drugs and alcohol and legal and illegal things. Some escape through entertainment and movies and television and video games, and others escape through more quote-unquote legitimate things like burying themselves in work or focusing on family in a way that is, you know, puts family above God. Some people do that and make that the number one issue in their life. So we escape in all kinds of ways. We try to escape from God in all kinds of ways. And the bottom line is that even though we try, we fail at that because we cannot run away from God. We cannot escape from God. He's always there. He's always present. And he always sees what's going on. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. And so no matter what we try to do to get away from God, it's not going to work. And ultimately, we will give an account to God, and we will come into confrontation with God. And that's exactly what happened with Jonah as well. The Lord confronted Jonah's disobedience, right? And the Bible says in verse 4 of Jonah chapter 1, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And so that's what we find next year, this great wind. And we can, you know, we can see some of those great winds today. You look down in the Gulf of Mexico and see the hurricanes that have come through. And those are great winds, and ships can't survive, you know, in those conditions. They will capsize, and all the people on board the ship will perish in the ocean. And so God sent a great wind. And here was this little tiny ship in the ocean fighting against the wind, and the people on the ship, the mariners, were afraid. Verse 5 says, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. And so we have confrontation. You know, when we try to run away from God, this is what happens. We get into situations where we have confrontation, and especially with God, mainly with God. And God does not let us go. He does not want to let us go. He loves us, and he cherishes his relationship with us, and he wants that relationship to be preserved. He pursues us relentlessly, okay? To try to keep us in his grace and in his favor. And that's what he's doing to Jonah now. Now, a lot of times we wonder, you know, at God's methods. It's really not for us to question them, but ultimately God knows exactly what he's doing. You know, God raises this great storm against. And now what happens? Well, Jonah is confronted by the Lord and by his power, and the people with him are confronted by the Lord and by the Lord's power. And now there's consequences to Jonah's behavior, right? He's tried to run away from God. He's got on this ship. He's paid the fare. He's a legitimate passenger, and they have an obligation to protect him as a passenger. And so now God raises this great storm, and now they have lost some of their profit from this ocean voyage, which I'm sure they were thinking as they loaded the ship with all the cargo. I'm sure they were thinking, we're going to make it to Tarshish just fine, and we're going to make some money when we get there. But now the storm has made it so they've had to cast off their cargo, and they've lost money as a result of this. And they're in danger of losing their lives even at this point. And so they are working very hard to survive this storm. Verse 6 says, so the captain came to him, to Jonah that is, and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And so now there's confrontation between Jonah and the captain. There's confrontation between Jonah and God. There's confrontation between Jonah and the captain. And the captain wakes him up. He says, call on your God, maybe he will save us. And now there's confrontation between Jonah and the mariners as well, to the crew who's operating the ship. And we see that as we go forward also. And so the mariners were afraid, and the captain came to him and called on him to pray. So Jonah chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says, "And they said to one another," here's the confrontation between the crew members, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you? You know, so they want to know. They're wanting to understand why this is happening, and they are now focusing on Jonah. Here's confrontation. And so the lot falls on him, and verse 9 says he tells them of his identity and that who he is. He says, "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." And so now they're afraid. They know that something's going on with Jonah because Jonah is part of the nation of Israel. So the men were exceedingly afraid and said, "Why have you done this?" You know, it seems pretty obvious to those who are affected by another person's sin that they have done something wrong, right? And when that happens to us in our life, we see some consequences taking place and it affects us because of something someone else has done. It seems pretty obvious to us. And we want, "Why have you done this?" That's the exact question they've asked, right? The person who is involved in the sin, they don't see that so much, right? Because they're blinded by their own sin, by their own desires, if you will. And they are not looking at things in a very clear way because of that. And so these men, they realized exactly what was going on. They knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" And so he says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." And so now Jonah has placed them in a very precarious moral situation, right? Think about it. Now he's telling them, "Well, if you pick me up and throw me into the sea, this will all calm down." But they're thinking, "Wait a minute. If we pick him up and throw him into the sea, then we'll be guilty of murder. And we don't want to be guilty of murder." And they continued to labor for a while, it says. They rowed hard, verse 13, but they couldn't get to land, and the storm got worse. And so they prayed, verse 14 says, "Please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood." And they didn't want to be found guilty, you see. So when people come into conflict with God, when God gives us commands, this is a whole process. It's a process that we go through, all right, all the time. God gives us a command. We contradict God's command. As a result of that contradiction, we come into confrontation with God and with other people. And then other people are forced to make difficult moral decisions in order to remain innocent and in order to save their lives. And so there's all kinds of conflict that occurs when we don't follow God's commands. And that's one of the great lessons that God is trying to teach us here. And so they come into conflict with Jonah. All right. And they want to know now what to do. He tells them to cast him over the side. They don't want to do it initially, but then finally they go ahead and do that. And as a result, they offer sacrifices to the Lord and try to appease God. They don't want to be guilty in the sight of God because of this. All right, so now the final confrontation we see is between God and Jonah because God, and it always comes down to that, right? After we've gone through all the confrontations with the people in our life because of the sin that we've committed, our final confrontation is ultimately with God. And that's what happens with Jonah. You see, he comes into confrontation ultimately with God. That's where his real issue is. And that's where our real issues are with God. And that's what we need to be thinking about. You know, Jonah confronts himself, more or less, his own disobedience. He tells the people to throw him into the sea. And finally, they do just that. And what does God do? He brings a great fish for Jonah to swallow. Jonah, verse 17 says, and he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. All right. Now, what do we need to do to avoid this whole mess of events, you know, within our life? Well, number one, we need to examine ourselves on a daily basis to see whether we're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you be disqualified? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And also, you know, confrontation. We need to be in confrontation when it comes to others who are caught up in sinful situations and sinful circumstances. God expects us to confront bad situations and to do what is right in those bad situations. Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself also, lest you be tempted. So, you know, when we truly love other people, you see, God brings us into confrontation with him, not because he's trying to hurt us or harm us or cast us away or something like that, but because he loves us and because he wants us to repent. He wants us to follow his commands. He wants us to do his will. And so he brings us into confrontation with him to that end or to that purpose. And he wants us to understand that we have a role in that also. And so when someone is, when we are gone away from God, we need to confront ourselves and be honest enough to recognize that we need to come back, first of all. But then secondly, we need to be honest enough to go to our friends and our loved ones who are involved in difficult circumstances and tell them the truth as well. Well, finally, we see correction here. God corrects Jonah's disobedience. He prepares this great fish. This great fish swallows Jonah, and Jonah's now in this fish for 3 days and three nights. And that's what we see in this story. And as Jonah's in there, he offers a prayer to the Lord. And this prayer is recorded in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 9. Let's read those together. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. All right, well, let's look at God's correction here of Jonah. God prepares this great fish and Jonah's swallowed. He's there for a significant period of time. If you think about it, without food and without water for 3 days and three nights, it's quite an ordeal, I'm sure. But Jonah prays and God hears his prayer and he responds by sending the fish up onto land and vomiting Jonah out onto the land after that prayer. Now, the key thoughts within this prayer of Jonah are found in verses 8 and 9 here. And that is this: those who regard worthless idols. Some translations say empty vanity or worthless vanity or something like that. Or who regard emptiness or vanity, forsake their own mercy. And this is really one of the key points in the book of Jonah. When we idolize things other than God, we're turning our back from God and we're cutting ourselves off from any mercy and grace that we might have from God. And we do that to ourselves, you see. When we regard worthless things, we basically say to God, you know, God, I think I can manage my own life better than you can manage it. And so I'm just going to go off on my own and do what I want. And of course, God doesn't want us to do that because He actually knows how to manage our lives better than we know how to manage them. And we cut ourselves off from any kind of a good thing then that God can give us, because we basically say to God, you know, I can do this for myself. I can give myself these good things, and I don't have to depend upon you for these good things. And God is sitting back saying, no, 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 don't do that. But we ignore Him a lot. And so we forsake our own mercy. And ultimately, that's what we need to recognize, is that when we resist God, we cut ourselves off from the great blessings that He has to give us. Well, Jonah finally realized that, you know, after spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, and he ultimately recognized that he needed to praise God and offer voices of thanksgiving and pay what he's vowed, because in the final analysis, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, the Bible teaches us that God does correct us when we need it. In Revelation 3 and verse 19, there Jesus said, you know, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. It's not because God doesn't love us that we have trials and problems and difficulties, but rather because He does. And we need to recognize those things for what they are. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Proverbs 3 and verse 12. And so let us accept the correction of the Lord within our lives. Jonah is a great book of the Old Testament. We just looked at the first couple of chapters, but there's so many things that we could talk about in relationship to this book. But let's remember God's command, Jonah's contradiction, God's confrontation, and God's correction. You know, this same process happens within our life. God gives us commands. We then contradict those commands when we sin against Him. God brings us into confrontation with Him, with others, with ourselves, and we have to own up to what we have done. And then He offers us correction. And we need to be willing to accept that correction within our lives. Maybe this morning there's some correction that you need to accept within your life, because of the things that God has done within your life, the commands He's given you, and your rebellion against Him, just as Jonah was rebellious. Well, if you want to escape those horrible situations, then we need to turn to God this morning. And maybe there's someone here who would like to do that this morning, to become a child of God by repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins today. Or maybe you are a child of God and you've gone astray and need to come back and recognize the great harm that you've done to yourself, to others. And now is a good time to make that known as well. And so whatever your need may be this morning, we invite you to make it known while together we stand and while we sing.